This is Spencer Tesh, and you're listening to Aggie Radio.
Good afternoon, Aggies and fellow listeners. You're listening to Aggie Radio. It's the radio for the students, by the students. Here in the studio today, I'm Jake Grossman with the USU Meditation Club, and you're listening to Mindfulness on Air. This is a regular show we're going to have going weekly on Thursdays at 3 p.m. with USU Meditation. It's open to all, so you do not have to be just a student if you wanted to come check out what meditation, what mindfulness is, and also we come to you if you're tuning in right now. So a little bit about mindfulness and what we're doing on the radio. Mindfulness is just a helpful branch that's really been boiled down to a way that has been able to find studies and controls to control for certain effects and of how meditation helps others, can help one out. But mindfulness is just a way to measure that. And so the studies on mindfulness are a way to measure that. But mindfulness is really a term that's used when you're aware in the present moment. It's paying attention to what's happening right now, either by using a formal meditation practice, yoga, breathing techniques. It involves consciously bringing awareness to our thoughts and feelings without making judgments about them. So it is a method to be observing what is happening right now in our bodies, minds, and the world around us. So you can see how this is really not necessarily need to be a formal meditation. We can really just employ this, and with whatever we're doing, we can bring this awareness to our experience. Mindfulness approaches have been proven to be effective with a wide range of mental and physical health applications. Mindfulness generally supports health promotion and prevention of ill health. The programs have achieved significant reductions in symptoms and relapse rates in the mental health, and there is evidence that mindfulness interventions can directly benefit physical health by improving immune system response, helping with healing, and inducing a sense of physical well-being. So definitely not a cure-all, but they are finding some effects that this helps with stress reduction, emotion regulation, self-regulation, along with promoting a sense of well-being. So just really being here. And so, sure, there's lots of studies that are out there. In fact, last I looked, there was one claiming there's been over 3,000 different studies. But the greatest part about it is we can read those academic journals, we can research it all ourselves, but we can also just be mindful. We can dive right into it, bring an intention and awareness of our lives every day, and notice what that feels like. You may be thinking, okay, I'm aware of what I'm doing right now. I'm always aware. But I mentioned we bring this to meditation or breathing. We are always breathing. We are always walking around, but we're not always aware of that. And so a lot of times we're just stuck in autopilot. We're kind of reacting, knee-jerk reactions habitually with what's going on, not really responding to ourselves within, to life around us, to others. So One key thing that I think it helps with is cultivating the mind to allowing that wisdom to rise. So you can do this anywhere, anytime, but it really allows to be aware of the emotions, the thoughts that are coming up. So then we cannot be so enmeshed in them. We cannot be blown around so much, and we can just see things more clearly as it's happening, as things are, instead of believing so much in our thoughts, because lots of times we're not accurate in someone else's intentions of why they may have done this. Could have just been a complete accident, and we go off into a story. Lots of times it's not particularly helpful. And so, as I mentioned, by paying attention to our thoughts and feelings in this way, we can become more aware of them, less wrapped up in them, and more able to manage them. Rather than struggling with our thoughts and feelings, or reacting to them impulsively, we can just notice them in a compassionate and interested way. This creates that space for us to make more considered decisions about how to respond to the events in our lives. often, rather than paying attention to our experience, we're swept away by it, carried along by thoughts and feelings, external events, interactions with others, memories of the past, hopes and fears about what might or might not happen, and our tendency is to get stuck in it. We strongly identify with our thoughts and feelings and react to them unquestioningly, with limited awareness. And so this can bring a complete shift in our awareness into our daily lives, or it can just be a way of being present with ourselves, grounded in the moment, kind of a centeredness, coming back. It can be self-exploration, self-discovery. Could just be just to help you with an exam. But either way, it's a skill that can be developed. So it's not just, as I mentioned, formal meditation. It's not running away from life. That may be helpful to get you started or maybe helpful to take time out. But it's not necessary to try to create or run away from things that are happening. It's a way of being here with what is happening and seeing it as it's happening instead of layering on our judgments and labels. And so that awareness we can bring to all aspects of our lives, on campus, in work, with our families, whatever we're doing, it can support a spiritual practice if you want. But again, not everybody, in fact, there's lots of people that meditate, and lots of people cultivating mindfulness without it being spiritual for them at all. It could be becoming aware, seeing their impact on the environment, can help them with environmental awareness, just that grounding, many, many applications for this. And so it's not really so much about sitting on a cushion in a specific posture at all. Because if that was the case, then maybe chickens would be the most mindful of us all. When they're not running around, that is, but when they're holding perfectly still, there is lots of suspicion that cats maybe really are, because I see them meditating quite a lot. But the point is here that it's not about being perfectly still. That can help. Those have different aspects that help different areas. But we can always just bring that awareness to our lives and to what's going on around us. And so there is a meditation club that meets here on campus every Wednesday from at 3 p.m., 3 to 4. You can come check it out. If you're new, come find out different techniques, different ways of meditating, and then employing this in walking and just observing, being with other external events or with yourself. And also, if you already have a practice and you wanted to find a group, we're a good place to come check out. Lots of people, a lot of experience and wisdom are there. Many people to ask questions from. It's just a great place to go and check out. And then we also have a webpage that we'll go over a little bit later of how to get there, to find more resources, and that kind of stuff. Once again, we have another special lineup today. We have a special guest here with me in the radio booth. I'm here with Mark Nafziger, and he is a trained psychologist. He is with the Counseling and Psychological Services, CAPS, here at the university, and uses, if I'm correct, the research I've done, uses mindfulness with his professional work, but also himself. And so,
that's right.
Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Very well. It's a beautiful day.
See that? He's noticed how beautiful the day is because he is mindful. but, of course, I'm joking a little bit there. Mm-hmm. But you do realize a lot more. We seem to appreciate it instead of complaining maybe about the weather, something we can't do anything about. We can appreciate it for what it is and really focus on what we do have control over and maybe go about it that way. So anyways, maybe I should have warned you a little bit. But one question I like to start out with our guests is, what does mindfulness mean to you? I've given a loose definition so people know what we're talking about and where we're going, but really it seems to be more than just a couple sentences on paper. And so to you, either how you use it, how you see it, what is mindfulness? What is meditation? What does that mean to you, Mark?
Well, I think another way of looking at mindfulness would be to talk about mindful awareness. And there can be lots of different activities that you use to cultivate your ability to be more aware. But I think also you can be aware any time in your life if you're able to quiet your mind down and not be so much in Ronald Siegel has called the thought stream. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that you can get outside of your own thoughts or get outside of your own head in a more colloquial way of saying it, you can actually be aware of what the reality is, whether it's around you or inside you. And so that, to me, that's, I guess, what I think of when I think of mindfulness is it's actually just being aware of part of what's happening, whatever part of what's happening you're focusing on at any given point.
Okay, I like that. So maybe some folks are wondering, okay, I'm with you so far. There's some mindfulness, there's awareness of what's happening, but how does this, maybe I'm hearing a lot of mainstream things about it, and like we mentioned, some of the health benefits or effects that can happen. So how do we get from that awareness being with what we are, getting outside of our head, or just sitting with it? How do we get from there to how does this work? Why does it work? And I don't necessarily mean we have to have a functional fMRI machine, what's going on in our brain, but just how does paying attention to the, why do we want to do that? How does it work?
Well, I think of really two categories of benefits to mindfulness. And the first, I think, has to do with really enjoying the good things in life. So the more that you're present when you're taking a walk or you're with a friend or you're listening to music or you're eating a meal, the more you're aware and actually present while you're doing that, the more you're going to enjoy it. I live about a mile from here. It's close to between 10 and 15 minute walk. And sometimes I walk to work or sometimes I walk back from work. And there are times when I leave my office and walk home, and I arrive and I've been aware of the beautiful mountains that are around us, or this time of year, so all the mm-hmm. wonderful smells that are in the air. All times of year have their own charm, but particularly sometime in the spring, I think we can be aware of some of the real beauty in the world. All the flowers are starting to bloom and so on. So right. Sometimes I'm aware of that. I've listened to the sounds, the birds chirping around me or whatever, and I arrive home feeling very good. Other times I can take the same walk and I arrive home and I come to realize that I haven't been aware of anything during the walk because I've been lost in my own head, thinking about something that went on or something I'm going to have to do later, something that's been bothering me. Whatever it is, but I've been in my head, in my thoughts, and I have not been aware of my surroundings or my own responses to the surroundings, whatever it is. Right. So I just think that in terms of enjoying our lives, you have to be present to enjoy it. That's the only place you can be even aware of your life. And so that, to me, that's a broad category of benefit that we can all experience to whatever extent that we're able to be mindful. And of course, some people are naturally mindful. There's certain things that we could be doing that naturally encourage mindfulness. But doing some mindfulness practice can maybe expand the amount of time that we can spend in that state if we so choose. So that's the first category. And the second category, I think, is dealing with problems and difficulties in life. And I think you've spoken a little bit to that, but within psychology and actually long before Western psychology, within wisdom traditions in the East and the West, mm-hmm. The ideas of mindfulness have been used and recommended to individuals as ways of dealing with life's difficulties, whether they're difficulties that just naturally arise as part of life that I think we all experience in one form or another, or maybe lessening or diminishing the difficulties we experience due to added suffering that we might add to the mix based on our beliefs and our reactions to things. So you could say, I guess I think of it as there are things that are painful in life, and then there's additional suffering that we may add on to it by virtue of our own thoughts and expectations and reactions to the things we experience. So those are kind of the broad categories. And I think you mentioned one thing that's recommended in mindfulness that's a little bit different, I think, from the natural human tendency is to approach or be with difficulties rather than trying to run away from them or trying to numb out somehow to distract yourself from them. And so I'm not saying that distraction is always bad or that we have to go through our lives trying to be aware of our pain 24 hours a day, but there are situations that we cannot respond to in the most skillful manner if we're just reacting and we're not aware of what's going on with us, maybe of our feelings or where they're coming from, our thoughts and expectations and how they might be playing into our reactions. So I think mindfulness gives us an opportunity to be aware of what's going on in a situation, whether it's with other people or with ourselves, and hopefully respond in the way that's best for us.
It was well put. So first, you must be present to win. Just kind of summing down that first part. But no, that's a great point, is how can we be happy with what we have, what we already have, and what we're already doing, and the beauty of the world around us, the people, just how many good things in life do we have, but we don't notice, we don't appreciate, because we're thinking of something else, we're wishing. And again, obviously, thinking and wishing and what Mark mentioned aren't bad inherently things to do. In fact, there's nothing wrong with it at all. But there's also no reason we can't be present with our lives and notice the good things that are happening. And I've given that example before. Some might have heard this, some might not have. But the example of the broken tooth. The tooth gets broken. I had this happen, and then the feeling came out and everything. So 3/4 the tooth was gone. The feeling came out, so it was really bad. It was down into there and was infected, down feeling it into my jaw, and got really painful. And so one extreme is, I'm not saying you don't have to go and fix this. That would be a logical thing to do. But when the pain was really bad, and I felt ornery, sometimes I could go into it, sometimes I could be aware of it and just notice the sensations, the pulsing that was happening. Sometimes it really did cause me to be, my lack of being there was a little bit of orneriness, and so that started affecting other people. But there was times I could just notice that. I could sit back a little bit and bring to mind that it is very painful for those that have had things that may need to be pulled out or a root canal. Or whatever, this you can put in whatever, fill in the blank. But it was just one tooth. At the same time, as much pain as that was, there was still a whole mouthful of teeth that were fine. There's still so many bones that aren't broken. There's so many, I'm fed, I'm clothed. There's so many things that were going right still. And so fully acknowledging it was painful, and maybe there's something to be done about it. Maybe take care of it sooner. Maybe there's a whole list of things, so there's no need to point the finger. But what I'm getting at here is it was acknowledging that was there. But I didn't have to focus. I didn't have to be pushed around so much all of the time. I could notice there was so much else that good that was going on. And so that, when you were explaining that, Mark, that came up for me, is to recognize whether it is just walking. This is a beautiful campus. This is a beautiful valley and lots of wonderful things in our lives that if we're present for can be really extraordinary. because we may take them for granted or just not even be present at all. I've had that experience too, walking somewhere, even driving. You know you've been paying attention somewhat as you're driving, but you're not really aware of doing that. It's kind of autopilot. And so you've arrived there without remembering the drive, without remembering somebody's name that you just met. So lots of times we're just on autopilot where we're just not aware of all the good that's happening. So that's a great reason to just be here and notice those things. Second point I really like too, that we kind of tend to dig ourselves in a little deeper, the pain, the suffering that is there. And it may not be that extreme. It may just be the rain that you may not like. But we tend to really create a rut with that way of thinking. And then it can go on to cause a lot of mental discomfort and physical, even when we're really tight and holding on to things.
There are a lot of approach to therapies that emphasize the importance of not avoiding things within psychology. Nothing to do with meditation. They were there before people got interested in meditation. Right. But there are a lot of therapies that are based on exposing yourself to the things maybe that you're afraid of or that you've been resisting, and being able to learn that either you can tolerate them or they're not so bad as you thought they would be, or they just allow you to master certain experiences that you've been afraid of. So that aspect of not avoiding, which is, I think, is a natural thing to do. I have no problem. I try to avoid pain whenever possible. It's just that there are times where the avoidance can lead to more problems down the road, the sort of the failure to really face and address what's going on can be a problem in itself.
And so it seems like, even though that was there before, the approaching and avoidance, but we can understand a little bit more of why it works, especially with mindfulness, because then we're aware of that instead of now just having the aversion, now I'm forcing myself to be around this. And mindfulness is key to help that. Plus, we also see a little bit of why that, little bit of insight into why that may work, be there. So I have another question for you then, is you've mentioned how this is helpful and applicable in life in general. What about students who are listening? How do they say, what about them? How would this be, more specifically, why would this be helpful for students? Why are we on air talking about mindfulness at a university?
Well, students are people too. And I think that they just experience, it may be kind of specialized versions of them, given their ages and the fact that they're studying at a university. But I think the broad outlines of things are pretty much the same. We all experience stresses of various kinds. Again, stresses that we may just be part of life, but sometimes also stresses that we may be making worse by our expectations of things, by our unwillingness maybe to accept things that are part of life that have happened and we can't avoid. Certainly students, like everyone else, have relationships where there are problems and where there are stresses or occasionally where they may end without the person wanting them to end. Mm-hmm. And so we may not get the grades that we want in every situation. We may have professors whose personalities we don't appreciate or whose approach to teaching we don't appreciate. So there's just going to be all kinds of challenges that students face. And the question becomes then, how are they going to deal with them? Are they going to deal with them in a way that makes the best for them out of the situation that they're facing? Or are they going to do things that maybe they would regret later? If you don't like a professor, maybe going up and telling him off to his face might not be the best approach to take. If you're afraid of experiencing a lot of anxiety over an exam, going in and sitting down and then getting up and running out of the classroom is probably not going to be the best approach. So people have to learn how to deal with the stressors and the challenges that they face, and I think can learn how not to create unnecessary ones for themselves. You know, I've worked with people who have gotten all A's and they get a B, and it's just devastating to them, and they spend a lot of time beating themselves up, suffering because of it. Mm-hmm. So there are ways that people make things worse for themselves that are probably not necessary, and there are probably also ways that people make things worse by not doing basic things that they ought to be doing, whether it's because they're avoiding something that's difficult or something that has been painful for them in the past. Maybe they've had trouble with math all their lives and they just have a big mental block about math. And so now when it comes time to sit down and do their homework, they're finding any reason under the sun to do anything else. And so I really look at it as just a way for people hopefully to be able to be aware of the situation that they're in and hopefully make the best decisions that they can about what they need to do, whatever the situation is.
So I noticed everything you mentioned there were things that we may not have control over them initially happening. Those were all things that may, aside from maybe the grades, may be able to work on that or not. This is up to everybody. But a lot of those were situations that the thing you mentioned we could do was running away or avoiding or making worse. And that's a very interesting point that it's not about trying to change, make that professor be more likable, make that person like you still. Instead of trying to change the outer world and fix, quote unquote, other people and things, this is allowing that space, that curious, that openness, but really it's channeling instead of looking outward for the cause or for the problem or the blame. It's really just stepping back and saying, the only thing I can do about this is respond. And in response, maybe making things worse, as you just explained, or instead of trying to change everything else, is maybe looking at our attitude. And so I look at mindfulness or meditation in general, actually a lot of practices is instead of trying to fix everything else and make it go your way, is how can I, it's changing your relationship to the world instead of trying to rearrange the world to suit us, because we're going to be pressed up against those things that we don't like to happen. And so that is a key thing for that.
I agree. I look at it a lot of times as, we, more in the West and certainly in this country, have really emphasized doing things a lot. We're always doing things. We're trying to change things. We're trying to make things better. And I think that's, personally, I think that's wonderful. But it can be incomplete without the other maybe complementary perspective, which is, what do we do in times where we can't change something, where something has happened? Somebody we care about's been in an automobile accident or has died. Something has happened to us that maybe we had an injury that's really impacted our lives in a significant way. There may be limited things we can do to actually change that situation. We certainly can't change something that's already happened.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons I really enjoy or like the idea of mindfulness is I think it's a good complement to our Western approach of kind of just doing things, trying to make things better, trying to change things, is how do we deal with the things that we can't change, or how do we deal more, as you said, with the internal world, which is also a world that we can't just go in and change things maybe the way we can.
Right, good point.
Build a new room on our house or something like that. So so internally, often we have to do things differently than we might try to do in the external world.
Right. It is an excellent compliment because it shows you, with mindfulness, shows us what we, an effective, efficient way, helpful way to do something when we can, and also to recognize when we can't, and how to deal with that, and how to be with that, more of a being with it instead of doing something. In fact, I often hear that a lot. we're not just human doings, we're also human beings. And so being with what's happening is also very helpful. So what about you? Where have you experienced this, or why would you meditate? Why do you practice mindfulness? What have you noticed? And I don't just mean like what superpowers have you got. I don't mean necessarily those kinds. What's changed that way? But just what do you notice now that we've talked about some basic mindfulness and in general information? But why does Mark find this helpful? Either in your personal or professional. I mean, you don't have to get that personal, but you know what I mean, just in your daily life.
On a personal level, it's harder for me to say. I got interested in meditation a long time ago. I don't know how old you are, but it's probably back around your age. Back when, in those days, though, it was considered very strange. It was practiced by people with beards and long hair and robes that came from the Himalayas and things like that. And so there was, I think, there tended to be, generally speaking, in our culture, very pronounced distrust.
So it wasn't on the radio yet?
It was not on the radio, okay. No. It was not on the radio. So for me, the first time, I guess I was probably, 22, something like that. It was probably even younger than that. It was probably 20 or so. So it was a long time ago. And I'd heard about transcendental meditation. I really liked the Beatles, and the Beatles were into transcendental meditation.
Right.
And so I went, and I think it cost me $20 or something like that. And there was a kind of a study house of sorts in South Bend or Elkhart, Indiana, where I went. You could go, and they would, you paid them $20, and they gave you a mantra and took you to your own little room where you could practice it. And then, of course, after that, you left. But that was my first experience with meditation, and I did that fairly regularly for a number of years. But I got discouraged with it after a while because I found that I had a lot of trouble concentrating, focusing on the mantra is a sound that you're given, in this case coming from Sanskrit, that you just repeat internally. So it's the object of meditation in that kind of meditation.
The object of awareness.
And so so I just found it was difficult. My mind would drift off. I'd have trouble staying awake. And so I got discouraged after a while. I thought, I guess I'm a failure at this, because I found it relaxing, and I did it with a fair amount of regularity, 20 minutes a day, but it was difficult, and I didn't really feel like I was progressing in the way that I had imagined, which I think was not really an accurate, it was not really an accurate expectation. But anyway, I sort of drifted away from that. I had other experiences. I studied yoga. I studied meditation someplace else, so I got a different mantra at some point. Eventually, when I came out here, which was almost 25 years ago, I started studying Tai Chi. And I actually, for me, I guess I find Tai Chi helpful just because I really do struggle sometimes with just sitting, because my mind seems like it's either really, really active, or it just drifts off, or I fall asleep or something like that. Whereas Tai Chi, for me, I guess it's because there's more things physically to focus on, is a little more, it's just easier for me to actually experience that experience of concentrating on something. It's still difficult in its own way.
Right.
But anyway, So since then, I mean, I've continued to do some yoga from time to time, do Tai Chi. I really like walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little bit of sitting meditation, but you probably do sitting meditation more regularly than I do. But that's my experience, and it's been, I guess, something, or some mindful awareness activity has been part of my life for almost 4 decades now. So it's hard for me to sort out what the changes were that were based on that and what would have just naturally happened as part of my life. But I do think that that even just starting off with that early, with that idea that it was important to be aware of your body and of your mind, and it was important to try to be able to focus and concentrate at least a little bit to develop your ability starting wherever you are, I think has been a great thing. I mean, the times that I experience feeling the most peaceful, I think, are the times that my mind is the quietest. Mm-hmm. And the more I'm lost in it, there's nothing wrong with thinking, with planning, with studying. That's what our minds are for, and we have to do a lot of that, I think, in life. But it's also nice to be able to have those times where we're able to step back and enjoy whatever it is that we're doing. I work a lot in the garden, and a garden is, for me, is a real kind of mindful awareness time in many ways, just because doing those activities for me help quiet down that kind of chattering mind part that we all have. So I
like that, because you mentioned those things aren't, there's nothing wrong with thinking and even worrying may be helpful in certain circumstances, but we just don't always have to constantly about things we can't do anything about, or at least skillfully. And so we're going to have to use our minds, but we can cultivate them, we can develop these skills. And that time out, that me time, the downtime, or meditation, or awareness, whatever you use, really helps lay the foundation and support the rest of your life when you do need to concentrate and use that thinking effectively. And another great point you brought up was all the different aspects. I plan to have on, we got some yogis coming up that will be on here, and they'll talk about how meditation or mindfulness, how they use this awareness in movement, in yoga, in how they go about their lives. And you mentioned Tai Chi. So it's not, as you can see already, folks, it's not just sitting still and quietly. You can use it in any action. You can be mindful of anything, first of all. And there are many, many exercises, meaning techniques and traditions to explore the mind or help you develop that or just be with it, with whatever you're doing. And also, there's different kinds of meditations. Like you mentioned, you first studied TM using mantra, and now we're talking about mindfulness, which is kind of it stems through all of that, but it's more the focus on kind of just what is happening in us, around us, our body sensations. And so that's what we'll do more of on this show and at the meditation club, is focusing on either sounds, sides, just what we're feeling, what's the breath feel like. We don't really pay attention to it. What are the sensations in the body and stuff like that. So glad you brought that up, because that shows you. And then you also mentioned walking meditation, which reminds me, in the past, you've done mindfulness groups, where you've done the building skills of mindfulness groups. And you've done different components of it. So there was mindfully eating, mindful walking, just sitting, breathing. So all these different exercises that, like you mentioned, start where you are, because not everybody may be able to just sit cross-legged in a funny posture. It's not just about the posture. It can bring awareness to all these activities. So would you guys be doing those workshops coming up maybe in the school year?
Yes, we do the mindfulness group, which most recently has been, I don't remember what it was when you participated, but most recently it's been 4 weeks. And so we have kind of an introductory session where we introduce some of the concepts of mindfulness, do maybe some mindful eating and just some real brief mindfulness exercises. And then we'll typically do one session that focuses on the body scan, which is basically laying down and just having your awareness go throughout your body and noticing what sensations you find in different parts of your body. And then we'll do a walking meditation session, and then we'll do a sitting meditation session. So that it's really, I don't feel qualified to actually be a formal meditation teacher. I've never even studied meditation that formally myself, but I feel competent to introduce people to some mm-hmm. of the different mindfulness activities and right. to be able to discuss those with them and at least maybe get them on a path that seems appropriate or helpful for them.
And show that it's an option, that right. this is available for whatever they find useful.
Right.
Or
and
whatever
some people do,
way they go.
Do enjoy or find more benefit in certain types of activities where others might not be for them. And so having some kind of a taste or at least a knowledge of what all is there and what the possibilities are, I think is a good thing.
And I've done it myself, actually, and I found it very helpful. Great introduction for folks that haven't experienced it or done anything. But even those that have, this is either could just help you remember things, give you different ideas, refresher. It does not matter. It was a very helpful experience to go through each week and explore something a little different, a little different take on it, how you can use it throughout your life and through the different areas of your practice. So we've covered quite a bit of, and so that would be, you can, if that was interesting to you, that would be in the CAPS, the Counseling and Psychological Services on the third floor of the TSC. So that's an option if you want to check that out. The meditation club is not the only place. We definitely do not have any kind of corner or monopoly on anything. It's just another option for folks to come and check out. That is also the third floor of the TSC, room 335, for the meditation club on Wednesdays at 3. And then the mindfulness group skills is the third floor in the CAPS office. Very helpful to check out. Very helpful if you even just know of anybody that might be interested in do it as well.
And typically at the beginning of each semester, we'll come up with a pamphlet that lists all our various groups and workshops and that, and it will be listed amongst those with the time, mm-hmm. the time and place.
Right. So lots of resources there. Speaking of resources, if you weren't able to make those classes or make the meditation time, we have email if you're not a student, or even if you are. That's usumeditationclub@gmail, usumeditationclub@gmail. And if you do have an A number, so if you're a student and you're in your My USU portal, on your home screen, there's an icon of two people in the top left. You can hover your mouse over that. A drop-down menu will come down. You go to Manage Communities, and that'll bring up a list of all the different clubs and organizations that are on the new webpage here at USU. And on the right side, click Join next to USU Meditation Club. You have to click Join to go in and open it, but don't feel like you've committed yourself too much. Just click Join on the right side and then open right next to USU Meditation Club. And then that'll lead you to, there's categories in the middle of the page that has resources, different places you can go to practice, different instructions with guided meditations, those scientific peer-reviewed journals we've talked about. There's actually a ton of resources on there with different web pages to show you the different applications of mindfulness or of meditation, leads you to the different websites, different links for all kinds of different kinds of meditations. And so it's been a pleasure to have you on this evening.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
And I thank you for that. But one thing before we go is what I always like to do is, instead of taking our word for it, instead of going and checking out the academic journals, if you'd like, and you can practice along right now, just with whatever you're doing, wherever you are, just bring your attention to what's happening right now. Whether you're working at a computer, at a desk, just bring your awareness, maybe typing, notice the sounds of the keyboard, or you're writing maybe for school, Maybe you hear a fan, kids playing, birds chirping. Maybe wondering what's all this about. You can just notice that as well. What's coming up for you? What's happening with you right now? What is your experience like? Just bring to mind real quickly something positive in your life. As we've talked about, we spend a lot of time on the negative side, the improvement side. What is a positive thing right now? What's going well? It can be a big event. It can be just a small thing. It could be spending time with your spouse. One I like to bring up is my nephew. I see him on Thursdays. 7 months old, he's all chunked out and round and pudgy, slobbering all over me and pulling my hair and ears. Just brings a smile. Just what's going right for you? So it can be something simple like that. Something going good in your life. Just feel that, bring that into your body. A little bit of contentment. Bring your awareness to your breath. We're always breathing, but how often do we pay attention to it? Where do you sense it? At the nose? The palate? Back of the throat, chest, or abdomen. What's the sense of breathing right now? There's no right or wrong way. You may just feel the whole body breathing, just knowing you're breathing right now. Breathing in the aliveness, fresh air. Letting go of any stress or tension from the day, whatever has happened, whatever you're worried about will happen. Just on each exhale, release that a little bit if you can. Just your natural breath, the natural rhythm. Feeling the sensations as you breathe in. Releasing, letting go as you breathe out. May bring your awareness to the palms. What sensations do you feel in your palms right now? Can you feel them? Just whatever your experience is like, just notice that. What does it feel like to have palms? Is there tingling, pulsing, numbness? On an exhale, release any tension in your hands, feeling them relax where they are. Bring your awareness to the belly, feel the sensations there. Maybe the breath moving in and out. See if you can soften the belly. Relax it with each exhale. Soften, letting go. Bring your awareness to the shoulders. Notice any sensations or tightness there. And on an exhale, relax them down and back, releasing, letting go. Letting go of all that tension down the spine. For a minute, see if you can keep all those areas in mind at once. See if you can hold the palms, your belly, shoulders, the felt sensations, not thinking of them, but as if your mind was located in your palms, in your stomach, in your shoulders. What does it feel like from the inside out? All at once. You can expand that to the whole body. Bring to awareness the top of your head, the bottom of your feet. Just notice what it's like to inhabit this body. Not judging, not labeling, but just what is your experience like right now? The felt quality, I mean. What does it feel like to be embodied? Imagine your entire body just full of all those sensations. And at your feet is a plug to a drain. Releasing that drain just like a bathtub. Feel any tension from the top of your head drain down, releasing the forehead, around the eyes, the ears, releasing the jaw, letting go of the throat and neck, feeling the shoulders relax down and back, down the arms, hands. Just feel each vertebrae release, letting go of all tension, stress, any worries, down the feet, into the earth. Releasing the low back, your hips, your upper legs, the front and back of your knee. Releasing the shins and calves. Just let go of any holding you feel down the ankles and feet into the earth, feeling the space within. The space and contentment that's always there may just be covered up by the storms of life of the mind. And it doesn't matter what your experience is right now. Just notice maybe there's a shift. If you feel relaxed or content, that's great. If not, that's fine too. Just notice the difference of bringing an awareness to our experience, to our body, to our lives right now. Out of the stories and possible scenarios of the mind, and into what's actually happening right now in the body, within us, around us. And as we slowly come back to what we're doing, this is an exercise you can do formally on your own, or just little parts of this. I've mentioned you can even while driving. Just bring the awareness to the palms, belly, and shoulders. Relaxing that can make you more present of being in the vehicle, sitting in a desk, sitting at home, waiting in line. Can bring you to what's happening, a lot of awareness. And releasing those just brings you into the moment, a little bit of grounding and centeredness to maybe more effectively go about your day. And again, this is just opening with a curiosity and openness to maybe explore what may be possible. We may have been living in a limited view of what it feels like to be me, of what's happening. And just maybe this can help open up a little bit of the possibilities that are out there with awareness. So I thank you all for listening, all the students, and even those, I know some of you aren't students but are listening as well. It's awesome to have you supporting, checking in, to have you guys there. Since this is a show about awareness, not only just within, but we mentioned those resources that are available at the CAPS office. And also a reminder about the Rapid Transit Wheelchair Race that's coming up Saturday, May 30th. So next Saturday, not in 2 days, next Saturday, May 30th, from 1 to 3, 1 to 3 p.m. at Mount Logan Middle School. It's 875 North, 200 East here in Logan. You can check it out, rapidtransitrace.org. Or for info, you can call 435-752-6469. That's 752-6469. And rapidtransitrace.org. What it is bringing awareness to the abled and disabled alike, to the young, to the old. Having fun doing wheelchair races. You can bring your own, or there will be some provided. There's the manual wheelchairs, power chairs, and assisted support. So different categories. The winner gets prizes. There's door prizes. Check that out if you want. It sounds like an awesome time. I am planning on being there, because if you talk the talk, you better walk the walk, or better wheel the wheelchair. Whatever it is, sounds like a great time. Everybody, you have a great day. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. And once again, you're listening to Aggie Radio, for the students, by the students. Have a great day.